Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show today with wonderful guests who are very knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of COVID-19, finding your new normal in multifamily. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are both national educators and sought-after speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. I wish it were not under these circumstances, but we're glad to be here as a resource.
It is a different world out there today in everything, but especially in multifamily. And, you know, Mindy, J. Turner recently, when I say recently, within the last week, it seems like, came out with a study from some surveys that you did with multifamily. In general terms, before we get into the meat of the discussion, tell our listeners what went into that study.
Yeah, so, you know, we have always been a resource for the multifamily industry. That's the core of what we do. And when we, you know, Paul, I was in your studio 3 weeks ago, and when we discussed, Stephanie Graves, a different Stephanie was on the call, when we discussed what's the impact that we think this COVID-19 is going to have, and none of us could even fathom where we are today. We were kind of discussing that just a while ago before we went live. And so when we started to see that things were changing and it was getting a lot more serious, and we felt like as a company, it was going to become even more serious. Never did I think we'd be here today, by the way, even right. When we had this conversation, you know, we said, we've got to do this. We need to do a study. We need to get out there. We need to provide information to the industry, because that's what we do. And so we wanted to look at, in the beginning, you know, what measures were companies taking? What were they mandating in the short term? And that had to do with how it was impacting corporate staff, what they were doing with travel, if they were canceling conferences. All of that clearly has been impacted. And then what special provisions, just in that beginning, what are the special provisions that they were taking so that they could be ahead of the game as much as possible? We also wanted to find out how they were communicating with the residents. And that's something I know I'm so happy to have Stephanie on from the National Apartment Association so that we can share this information that we found out from the industry, and also see what the National Association is helping with and doing. And then, you know, we wanted to see what our clients and non-clients thought, how is this going to impact in the long term, in the short term, the leasing, the way maintenance requests are being handled, just the way day-to-day life is at the properties. And then how are they communicating with the residents, and how has that changed? And then, of course, what steps they're taking to stop the spread of the coronavirus. So we wanted to get that information out there as quickly as possible. We did the study. It was a national study. There were over 1,400 respondents, and 42% of those came from senior management. So there's a lot of great data that we'll go into today, as well as anybody that's listening can go to the website, our website, which is jturnerresearch.com. There's never a charge for any of the research that we put out. There should be a pop-up that they can see. If not, Paul, they can just click on the Resource Center, and they can see all the studies that we've done. But this one on COVID-19 is available for them to download.
Well, great. And you mentioned one of the things you mentioned was resident communication. And Stephanie, let's talk about that. Resident communication, exposure to the COVID-19 from residents. I'm sure residents are concerned about how they're going to pay their rent and, you know, what can be done. And then the topic no one wants to discuss, which is evictions. Let's talk a little bit about those things, Stephanie.
Well, I think you, Mindy, and I can all agree that communication is really key here with everything we're doing, and more so now than ever because of the amount of misinformation that can be not communicated if the proper communication isn't in place. So I think it's really important for our operators out there to know that getting in front of it, sending out notices to your residents in whatever form that looks like, right? Letters may not be the best form. You need to think that through. Maybe it is emailing, maybe it's texting if your property has that permission and has that capability. But, you know, either way, just letting residents know, first of all, what's happening, because things are changing and they're changing very, very quickly. And that gives our residents a peace of mind to know what is happening around them and what your community and management team is doing in response to that. Outside of it, you know, having confirmed exposure in your community is something that is going to happen, okay? The CDC is giving a lot of numbers out right now in terms of how many people are going to be affected by this pandemic. And so, you know, it's not a matter of if you're going to have a resident exposed. It's a matter of when and what we're going to do and what type of plans we have in place. And so we have really been working hard at a national level to provide different types of communication plans to our members that will help them communicate properly and legally to their residents should they have a confirmed case. And, you know, sending a notice out to your residents and saying we do have a confirmed case in the community lets them know that this is what we're doing in response to that. We're, you know, ramping up our cleaning efforts in these common spaces, and we're making sure that, our maintenance teams are staying safe. And if they're going from one apartment to the next, that they are using, you know, the correct personal protection equipment to make sure that they're not carrying any type of germs from one to the other. It is really key, though, and I want to make a point that when you're communicating to your residents in terms of a resident testing positive for COVID-19, that you do not put out any type of personal information in terms of the person's name or their address or anything that would allow anyone within the community to know who that person is, because there are a lot of privacy laws in place. So it's good to communicate, but just be very gentle in terms of the amount of information, because you want to make sure you're not, sending additional panic, right? Making sure that people understand that you're doing this to keep them informed, but that you also have measures in place that are going to keep them as safe as possible.
You know, and Mindy, I noticed in your report you had a section on special communications. And, it's not just communicating about, you know, if there's someone on the property who has been exposed, but it's how do you deal with work orders and things like that. What did you find on that in the study?
Stephanie made a great point about it might not necessarily be the best thing to do on sending out those letters. It's more on email blast, also using social media. That's one of the things that we noticed that our clients are doing. And then posting signs, going old school, putting up the signs where people can see it behind the glass doors so they can read those. Really communicating these new office hours, because we're finding that teams are changing the way that they're working at the site. They're working in shifts. Letting them know, you know, pay attention to what's happening with the CDC guidelines. They're posting information on personal hygiene, things that we would take for granted that people would know, but really letting them know you need to wash your hands for longer than 20 seconds. Talking about work orders, I believe you mentioned that a while ago, that right now the teams are limiting, most teams are limiting it to emergency work orders only. And they're not wanting their teams to have to go inside those apartments if they don't have to. And so, as Stephanie mentioned, making sure that the maintenance teams are prepared and they do have the type of personal protection equipment that they need. And then they're also communicating that, look, we've done a good job of keeping the property clean, but we're taking it to the next level. We're doing deep cleans, and they're explaining what their process is. And then they're asking the residents, you know, to stay inside as much as possible, to please make sure that they're cleaning their units, they're cleaning their doorknobs, and, you know, the properties are also communicating. And this started really last week that they're canceling amenities and classes and those gatherings. And it's really stay at home as much as you can. And then not in the study, but what we're seeing now is there's so many different places that are mandating to stay at home. So I would imagine we're going to see a lot of communication around that also.
And we've got about a minute left before we have to go to break. Stephanie, what about the payment, the rent payments? What are you advising your operators to do regarding that and again, evictions?
Great question. So what we're doing on a national level is we're encouraging all of our residents who are in financial distress to proactively reach out to work with the community managers and do that prior to April 1st, which I know is just around the corner. You know, many of our rental housing professionals already have individual plans in place where they do plan to work with the residents during this crisis. You know, it's important to mention there's not a one approach fits all, right? No one size fits all here. But the best strategy, and of course, our recommendation from NAA is for our owners and managers and residents to really partner together to find that optimal solution. Really to provide a secure home for our residents is our primary goal. And, you know, I know some owners and operators might get concerned thinking, how am I going to pay my mortgage? We do have a best practice that's going to be coming out in a couple of days that is going to give a lot more specification in terms of how you're going to handle this as an operator, how you're going to meet in the middle. You're going to be able to be strategic in terms of how you're going to operate your business financially, while also being very empathetic in providing a service to those residents.
Well, we do have to take a break. A lot to cover in this topic. We are going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of COVID-19, finding your new normal in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are both national educators and sought-after speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. Before we get back in the conversation, I do want to remind our audience, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any episode of our archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Stephanie, I know that one of the big things, big activities in what would be the old normal for multifamily, it would be prospect tours and the leasing efforts. How is this COVID-19 new normal affecting the way operators are dealing with that?
You know, I think it's really allowing operators to be a little bit more forward-thinking, which some companies may have already been doing and others may not have been. But as we think about safety for our team members and prospective residents alike, I think it's important to know that if you are going to still tour, you need to keep 6 feet distance between one another and try not to breathe on each other and things like that. But what we're really finding is a lot of communities are saying, you know what, we don't want to do the traditional leasing right now. There's just too much at risk here. And so instead, they're saying, well, virtual leasing it is. But think about this, Paul. What do you do if you don't necessarily have the financial means or the time? Because if you were to purchase a platform for your virtual leasing, there may be some timing there in terms of implementation period, which we don't really have, right? Because time is money. We need to keep our occupancy up during this crisis. So what do we do? So I think you're going to see a lot of operators getting a little bit more creative in terms of their virtual leasing. What does that mean? Well, hello, FaceTime, Skype, Zoom. There's all these different free methods that you can use and to allow people to connect virtually, right, on video. Take them to that vacant apartment. Take them over to your model and show them that. And you know what? If we want to make it easier because you do have a lot going on at your community, go and tape just, you know, a great community tour and put it up on YouTube and, you know, or Vimeo as your hosting station, and then send that out to your residents or potential residents with a great personalized message that says, hey, Peggy, we're so sad we can't see you in person. Let me tell you a little bit more about myself in the community, and then I want you to check out this great tour. These were my favorite spots. You know, make it as personable as possible and then allow them to view the apartment from where they're at. And I think it's the safest bet for everyone, and it's something that all of our operators can do.
And Mindy, during the survey within the parameters of your survey, did you have comments about leasing efforts?
Yes, we did. And one thing that, just to be even more up to date on this, Paul, because we also not only did we do this COVID-19 survey, we are a survey company, and one of our products is prospect and resident surveys. And so a lot of our clients have reached out to us, and they have said, like Stephanie's talking about, they're going to this virtual platform of leasing, and they've asked us, can we modify our current survey to give them feedback on what the prospective residents think, and we've done that. And so we're seeing it every single day. And since I've been sitting here, I've had two emails that have come in from clients saying, hey, we're transitioning over. Can we do this? So that's something that our group is, you know, our industry is transitioning to. And I love Stephanie's idea about, you know, filming a great tour of the community and putting it up on YouTube and following up virtually. You know, we asked the question on our study, do you feel like this is going to impact leasing in the short term? And when you look at the numbers that said it would impact and it would have a significant impact, it was 78%. And the good news for our industry, and I'm watching these multifamily forums and different discussions inside our industry, we still have a number of folks that are posting that they are getting leases, that it hasn't stopped. Maybe it slowed just a little bit. But we're still pushing forward. And, you know, we are going to get through this. We just have to be a little bit more creative. And so I'm really looking forward to some of the ideas that Stephanie is going to share later on for resident events.
And Stephanie, we've got the maintenance. We talked a little bit about that in the first segment. But what about working from home? So much of the industry is you know, for the lack of a better term, face-to-face. It can't be that way now. But what about working from home? And I know, Mindy, you covered some of that in the study. So what did you find on that, Stephanie?
Working from home is a big, big opportunity here. And transitioning your business to that is a little bit scary for companies, right? Because we are a people and service-based industry, and we are used to having face-to-face contact with people. But I think what's important to note here is that this is temporary. It's not necessarily how your business will be operating years from now, although I think people will begin to find some value in it. But what I think is it's going to be uncomfortable in the beginning because it's not what you normally do. But there is opportunity for even your site-level teams to be able to work from home or work remotely in the sense of being able to still provide that service that we pride ourselves on in this industry and doing it from afar in a virtual setting. And so, you know, you think about some of the busy work, and I hate to put this at the forefront here, but there are things that our site teams can't get to that is still really important, especially from a compliance aspect. File audits, for instance, and being able to update information and being able to just make sure that everything that's in the computer is also the same as what we have in our filing system and so forth, and making it a seamless process. Those are things that take time that typically the site teams do not have on a daily basis. So once we make sure our residents are accounted for and everybody's happy and we're adding in these virtual events, what better way than now to be able to invest some time into things such as, you know, the compliance and doing some of that busy work. In addition, I think this is a prime opportunity for additional training. When we think about our training platforms and our teams being able to get through those trainings, right? And some of them are just going to be your liability classes, but others are, you know, classes like our credentialing programs through NAAEI. Opportunities for our teams to kind of take their education to the next level, because that's going to really benefit your business in the long term. So how are we making the most of our time right now through this crisis and being able to do it remotely, right? And then apply it to when we are ready to go back to the site level and we are ready to dig back into our regular jobs, what are we going to do even better? Because the expectation then is going to be so much higher than it already is.
Mindy, what did you find in the study as far as what people were doing from working from home?
When we asked, you know, who's working from home, of the corporate staff, 45% were working from home. 23% were still working out of the corporate office, and 32% were considering it. So actually, there was more than that if you add the 23 and the 32 together. And I would still say, you guys, based on the meetings and the web meetings that I'm having on a daily basis, those numbers pretty much match up with what's even happening right now. I think we're going to see that change. This is opinion. This is not study, as we're seeing the mandates of the stay home. But it was 45% at the time we're working from home. And then 66% had imposed travel restrictions, and then 77% had canceled leadership conferences, even leadership conferences that were further out. And we did have some clients and non-clients that responded, letting us know that they've canceled travel for the year. Now, what that looks like when we all get a better handle on this is yet to be determined. But we definitely see that there's a number of short-term measures that have been taken. And Stephanie, I couldn't agree more, and I love that you said it, that the expectation is going to be higher when we get back to normal, because we just showed not only can we do this in person, but we can do this virtually. And so the new normal is going to continue to be just that, new normal. And I think there's going to be a different level of expectation from everybody. And hopefully it's just all something that we look at and we learn from and we get better. And then the training aspect of what you brought up, I think, is just incredibly important as well.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after these brief messages. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of COVID-19, finding your new normal in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are both national educators and sought-after speakers, Stephanie Anderson Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Ladies, we talked about a lot of things during the break, but getting kind of back on track to where we were originally going to be. We were talking about ways to get residents or keep residents engaged. I've heard a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things on different social media about what some properties are doing. Stephanie, what are you finding?
You know, I must say that I love keeping up with social media in that sense, because you get to see some really cool and creative ideas of what other management companies are doing. And I think creativity is key here, because we really need to leverage our technology and to really make the most of it during this situation. Keep in mind that our residents, especially in the newer communities, there is amenity spaces that are built and a resident vents are hosted. And that is all to create that camaraderie amongst neighbors and to really have people build these relationships. And so now that people are quarantined to their homes, it's how do you keep them engaged and happy? And I think that this is a really pivotal point in general because of mental health and really not only keeping people engaged with what's going on, but just checking in and making sure that they're okay, I think is really key here. And so I think that the management teams on site have a real priority here to check in with their residents and say, you know, how are you doing? Because it is a really powerful question to ask people how they're doing and truly mean it when you listen to what they have to say. And so really leveraging the technology that I speak about includes some of those social platforms, whatever that platform would be, anything from, you know, Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter. There's all these great programs. I know some properties are even using TikTok, right? How do you create that connection with residents? And you know what, even offer them a laugh or two with what's going on, because really sometimes it is appropriate to add in a little bit of lightheartedness to just let them know we're all human. We got to allow ourselves some grace during this period. And we mean it when we say we are here for you. But I think outside of that, you know, really what we're seeing is an opportunity for companies to come together and say, you know, we were normally going to do a face-to-face resident event, and now it's going to be held in your home. And what does that look like? Is that sending out daily trivia? It's playing bingo, because how simple is that? You know, there's digital forms of that to be able to do. It's sending around recipes with your neighbors and really designing a community cookbook, because everyone's at home, right? And other than maybe picking out food from restaurants here and there, they're probably going to get tired of eating the same food. And so let's leverage that. Let's listen to what other people are doing and kind of make the most of it. Let's create a scavenger hunt, right? Think about, you know, all the items you have in your home and come up with crazy things that people would already have and have them take pictures of it. So what you're doing here is you're keeping them busy. You're keeping their mind in a positive place. And because you're using platforms like social media, you're now engaging everyone online too, because think about it. We spoke about it earlier. Our goal here and our intentions are long-term with our business. And what's that model going to look like in the future? So if we're having a lot of interaction on our social media, and residents are posting about, oh my gosh, I had the best time playing bingo last night with my community. Or, oh my gosh, check out this really cool picture of my dog. I hope they're featured as pet of the week this year. You know, all these things that we would probably be doing in some way, shape, or form before, we're now doing with a lot more intention and purpose. And that is going to translate to this amazing community that people want to move to. You know, when they can get up and move and we're past all of this craziness, they want to come live at your community because what you did was so powerful during that time.
Yeah. And Mindy, what have you seen? Was any part of the study discussing, I know it was communication, but as far as specific engagement to keep people involved, or and also I know you keep your ear to the what's going on in the industry as a whole. What have you seen?
Yes.
So when we really focused more on communication to the residents about what was happening with COVID-19 in the study. But since then, I have been on a webinar with Toni Blake. She's an industry speaker, very well known, and she did a webinar, a free webinar actually, for it was called Coronavirus Leadership, 10 Initiatives. And in that, she shared a lot of the ideas actually that Stephanie just brought up, and then other ways to get involved with the community virtually. And so sending out different workout programs, because gyms are closed down right now. So sending them different workout programs and hosting a class together, but everybody's doing it virtually. Getting pets involved and posting pictures of pets and dressing up the pets and different games. You know, Stephanie mentioned bingo, and there's other games that you can do, and hosting a resident talent show. And so just really getting creative and how to get the residents involved and how to still build that sense of community in what is this new normal for right now. And again, I just have to stress, this is right now. Let's be as creative as we can, thinking outside the box. I love to call it scribbling outside the lines, for how we can get the residents engaged and know that, you know, we care. We're all going through this together. We gotta, you know, have our social distancing, but really creating that sense of community is super important, even in these times. And so, like I said, if somebody wants to go and download that as a free webinar that she did, Coronavirus Leadership 10 Initiatives, and there's a complete section in there on ideas and ways to get the teams involved. There's also just a lot of great information, and I shared a lot more of the findings in that particular webinar. So. You know, it really just is all about creativity at this point.
You know, and one of the things that's, I guess, people need to take in consideration when they're planning resident engagement, and you guys may be more familiar about this than I am, but, you know, obviously children are home from school, and, you know, it's keeping them engaged as well, I would imagine. Stephanie, what have you seen about with that?
There are some really, really great resources that are free that we really encourage the, you know, apartment teams to send out, because that is so important with kids. One of the ones I've seen a lot of is Scholastic Magazine and Age of Learning. Those are two great programs that are free, and that can keep your kids engaged online. So they would go on and they would be able to do a lot of the curriculum that schools use with these programs already. And you can depict what type of programs based on age and grade level. So it would make it easy for your son or daughter to be able to do exactly the type of information they would be learning if they would be in school. And so I think that that's a great program. Outside of that, I've seen some really cool things. You know, the CDC is saying that you can still get out there, get fresh air. You're just practicing social distancing, right? And so, because if you have nicer weather, why not get outside and go for a walk? So a lot of communities are doing sort of what I would call like a seek and find. And I'll give you an example. Back at St. Patrick's Day, okay, so they had hidden shamrocks all throughout the community. And the way you engage your neighbors here is you ask them to print out in color or design, you know, a shamrock and put it in their window, apartment window. And as you're going through the community, kids can actually go through and kind of have a hunt. Last weekend was a big weekend for many communities that did what was called a bear hunt. And it correlated to a book that was more on an elementary school level for kids to read. And then they go out on this bear hunt. And the bears are literally teddy bears that, you know, residents put in their windows or around the community that people can see. So again, you're not touching any of these items and you're not coming in close contact with them, but you're doing this fun activity. You're getting kids out, you're engaging them in something great. And it really just helps to motivate them during this, I don't want to call it a depressing time, but a less than happy time for them. And so I think it's really cool to think of those out of the box ways, like Mindy said, to get your communities involved.
You know, and Mindy, I know you mentioned some of the multifamily forums and boards that are out there. What kind of creative things have you seen on those for resident engagement?
Well, so I actually was just thinking of one. I didn't see it there, but I just wanted to share. So there's an art teacher that is, of course, not at school, not doing art right now. And so she's going on every day on Facebook, and she's posting household items that you can use with your kids to get them involved. And using the last one that I just saw was with food coloring. And there's so many different things that you can do with food coloring. And I literally was watching her, and then I saw in her feed where parents were going online and they were posting their kids doing these activities and thanking her for the information. And then I saw teenagers that were going online and they were doing them also, and then some adults that got excited. So something as simple as that, finding someone in your community, posting, saying, hey, is anybody involved in art? Do you have anything that you would like to share? And then film, having them film that and post it to your Facebook page or your Instagram or, even a link to it on Twitter or whatever that you want to use, and share that. So get your residents involved. What are you good at? Would you like to lead a workout class? Would you like to lead an art class? Would you like to lead a cooking class? And then have them post their videos, potentially do a contest for that also. But then they become little mini celebrities, if you would, within their community, but they're helping them. And now everybody's involved and they feel that they have a piece of it. And you can also say, what other ideas do you have? One that I saw, maybe it was even 2 weeks ago, where a gentleman named Brandon, he's from the Houston market, mm-hmm. he said, you know what, I've got all this DJ equipment. I think I'm going to go out to the pool and I'm just going to have a party. Nobody's going to come. They're going to be, if it comes to this, they'll be in their apartments, but I can have the music going and we can have a balcony dance off. So there's a lot of different things that you can do to be creative. Everything that you do is never going to be everyone's cup of tea. But if you offer multiple ideas, you're going to find those and you're going to be able to hit different segments where it would work out well for each of those. So I would suggest making sure you have a variety that you're offering to your residents.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break and be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of COVID-19, finding your new normal in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are both national educators and sought-after speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. And, you know, during the break, we were talking a little bit about media, and it's always a challenge for multifamily whenever there's something going on at a property to how to deal with media if they have to. This brings up a whole new aspect of that because it's so widespread. It's not just targeting, you know, one specific property where something occurred or where the media is out there to investigate. What is it that you're finding and counseling operators on from a national standpoint, Stephanie?
Great question. So we focused actually yesterday, fresh on the mind to our members, we hosted a micro webinar with NAA, and we had our manager, Todd Usher, if you're familiar with him, he's fantastic. He's the manager of public relations at NAA. And what he did was provide a 10-minute micro webinar just on this topic alone to our members, because this is an unprecedented event, right? And we know that some teams just don't have crisis communication plans in place. And so we're trying to walk them through what that looks like. And some people may say, well, is the media really that interested in you know, each individual case? Because we are talking about something that is much huger than any of us. However, with that being said, I think it's important to know that the media sometimes wants to get attention, as we know, and they're definitely looking for headlines that are going to grab the attention of their viewers. And what better headline than to say that a resident living in this particular apartment community is a confirmed case with COVID-19? Well, that's going to draw a lot of attention, because the media is going to try to strike panic in you, and it's going to try to tell people that, you know, it's easier to spread it because you're in smaller quarters and so forth. And so we're really encouraging our members to come together as their companies do and create a crisis team, you know, people that will be involved in the decision making and that are easily communicating to your employees, your stakeholders, and the media on a daily basis or an as needed basis. To assist with this, we do have a great benefit in addition to the micro webinar. Is if you go online to NAA's website and we have a COVID-19 resource page, we actually offer a crisis worksheet. And that is something that really helps you describe the problem, define how urgent it is, really figure out a solution for the desired outcome, and then look at your best options, right, that you're going to move forward with in terms of how you're going to combat or be proactive in the process with the media. And so I think it's important for all of our members to be aware of this. You know, it used to be the age-old saying, no comment, right? If a media person came to you and you say no comment, that kind of like alleviated any liability or risk. You moved on with life, and it let our viewers know that you just weren't willing to discuss it at this time. Well, unfortunately, times have changed, and our public relations department does not actually encourage saying no comment. And I think that's because a negative connotation comes with that. And if you don't call somebody back for comment, or if you tell them no comment, it looks like you're hiding something, or that you're just not genuinely interested in putting it as a priority. And so we're trying to help our members here to decide how you're going to work best towards a solution here and what makes more sense for your company with your objectives moving forward in this particular situation.
You know, you mentioned Todd Usher, and I agree with you. He is a great person and a great resource for this type of topic. Just out of curiosity, is it possible for someone who was not able to be a part of that mini webinar to either get a transcript or to get to be able to listen to it some other way?
Absolutely. So all of our micro webinars we're releasing on a daily basis. They cover all sorts of topics from regulator, you know, and legislative updates to teleworking tips. You know, maintenance and handling maintenance right now in apartment homes. There's so many great topics that I can't even begin to dig through the surface with that. But you can actually find them on NAAHQ's website for our coronavirus resources page, and they're also on our YouTube channel. So easy to watch. The goal here is they're always 6 to 10 minutes, because as operators, we don't have a lot of time right now, right? Time is of the essence. We're all working around the clock. And so to be able to take a topic and apply some great guidance within 6 to 10 minutes and then implement it within your organization is the ultimate goal here. So, yes, you can definitely find all of these micro webinars to watch.
Mindy, what thoughts do you have? I don't know if Jay Turner's study covered anything about media and dealing with media, but I know in the past it's been a question for a lot of people. What are your thoughts on that?
So we did not cover media on this study, and I do think that it's important for each company to have something in place. I'm super appreciative of the National Apartment Association for doing these micro webinars and putting this information out. You know, we are an industry that focuses on taking care of our residents and making sure as owner operators, there's legislation that does not negatively impact us or the ability to take care of our residents. And so there's a lot of great resources at NAA about just in general dealing with the media. And I happen to be based out of the Houston market, normally traveling all the time, but clearly not doing that right now. And the Houston Apartment Association also does a really great job of giving information on how to deal with the media. And there's trainings that are out there that those that are listening can take and implement. You know, for our company, for instance, we have a policy in place on how we're going to handle that, and we know when we get a question who to direct it to. And I love that Stephanie said, you know, our thought is not to say no comment. It's actually to have a comment, but you want to know who is that person, who is the point person that's going to be the contact to deal with media. And it needs to be somebody who is that point person, especially in a time like this. Paul and Stephanie, we know this has never been seen before. None of us thought that this would happen. And there's so much misinformation out there, unfortunately. You want to make sure that the message is being given to the public from somebody who understands clearly what that message is and what we want to put out there. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the safety of our teams, the safety of our residents, the safety of our employees.
I want to ask both of you, we've got a few minutes left, and then obviously I want to give you a chance to tell everybody how they can reach you. But I want to ask both of you to give me your opinion. This is something that is not something that we originally talked about discussing, but we're talking about what is the new normal. And once the smoke clears on this crisis and everything, whether it's weeks, months, or however long it takes, what is going to happen with multifamily, the multifamily market? Is it going to go back to exactly the way it was operating? What is it, what could it look like differently? And what are we learning about how to deal with situations like this? And I'll go to you first, Stephanie.
Well, as the saying goes, nothing ever stays the same, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we can't go back because we're all going to be completely different people. I look back to myself and my colleagues. We're all different just after experiencing this the past couple of weeks. And we're hopefully better for it, right? We're learning as we go, and we are navigating that new normal. And I do think that after all this is said and done, we are going to be better than we've ever been. And I want to elaborate on that for just a moment. I think that our on-site teams and operators are going to be a lot stronger. They're going to know what they're capable of doing. They're going to know just how much that they can handle in terms of workload. I think that you're going to see a lot more leaders really rise up to the challenge during this time, and they're going to be stronger than ever afterwards. Now, as a business, I think that we're going to all learn to be a lot more flexible. I think that some companies may have more rigid policy and procedures in place in general, because it's sort of like if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? But things continue to evolve over time. And as we look at our business models, we're going to see that, wow, that person didn't have to be in the office all the time, or that person was capable of not only doing their own job duties, but working in correspondence and collaborating in these other areas of our business to be more productive and more beneficial to the overall goals and strategic plan. So I think you're going to see a lot more versatility. I think that people are going to come out a lot more stronger. And I think that, you know, people are going to realize that the little things that we thought mattered so much really didn't matter at the end of the day. And the little bickering that happens between residents, or the small issues that our management teams have to oversee in the grand scheme of things, are going to be very small potatoes. And we're going to learn to really find true value in a lot of the great things. And we're going to expand our business model based on that. And I think we're going to see a tremendous amount of growth in companies based on that.
Mindy, what are your thoughts?
I think that there's going to be some financial implications that our industry is going to deal with, and there's going to be a trickle-down effect from that. But that's not all doom and gloom, because we've been there before. We've faced this before, and we got through it. And our industry was very strong leading up to what's going on right now, and we will get back there. So that's really positive. You know, the thing that we have going for us as an industry is – years and years and years ago, we remember the campaign of "It's the American Dream to Own a Home." Well, not everybody's American dream. We have so many in our country that choose renting as their dream. They like the flexibility of it. They like their maintenance requests being taken care of. They like the fact that they don't have to worry about taking care of their lawns. That's not going to change. And so all of these things that we're learning today, all of the creativity and the virtual neighborhood events that are taking place and the way the communities are being run now is only going to give our operators ways to be creative moving forward and to remember and learn from this, that we never saw something like this. We could have never envisioned this. Like I say never, ever. My grandparents could have never envisioned this, my parents. Mm-hmm. And we're only going to be stronger, as Stephanie said, and we're going to be better. We are going to get through this. I believe it is going to be difficult for a while, but I know we will come around, and I know we will continue to bring that very special. You know, there's nothing more special, more personal than the home, and we're making that even better for those that choose rentership. And I love this industry. I never thought it was going to be my career, and here I am 20-plus years later, because, you know, guys, I started when I was two. I never thought that I would be working in this trillion-dollar industry as happy as I am today, and I'm not going to look back. I'm only going to push forward, and that's what we're all going to do.
Yeah, and there's so much more to talk about regarding this topic. One thing we did not cover was how this is affecting the supplier partners that work on our properties. I think I'll probably do a show and have some of them on to kind of discuss what they're doing. But we've got about 30 seconds left. Real quick from each of you, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do it? And give them a email address or phone, whatever you choose. Stephanie?
Great. I'll start. So the best way to reach me is sanderson@naahq.org. You can also find me on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, LinkedIn. I share some really great insight there. In addition, if you have questions pertinent to coronavirus and the guidance for property management, we have designed our own email address that I do check about 100 times a day. So you get pretty quick responses, and that's CV19Questions. The letter C, the letter V, 19 questions at naahq.org.
All right. And Mindy?
Yes, you can reach me at mprice@jturnerresearch.com. That's mprice, like the price is right, at jturnerresearch.com. You can also go to our website to get the latest research, to learn a little bit more about what we do. And just want to say thanks so much for having us, Paul.
No problem. I'm flattered that you guys took the time to do this. It's very important, and I'll love to have you back sometime soon. But we do need to go ahead and call it quits for this episode of Multifamily Matters. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.